That Medic Podcast, your bi-weekly dose of education and inspiration in the healthcare field.
Hey everyone, I'm Simmer, a student at Harvard University.
And I'm Daniela, a student at Oxford University.
And this is
That Medic Podcast. Enjoy! In this episode, I have the privilege of speaking to Dr. Fish, founder of Draw It to Know It, an interactive online medical education platform. We discuss starting and growing Draw It to Know It, teaching medicine, work-life balance, and advice for clinical entrepreneurs. I hope you enjoy the episode. Before we launch into the episode, I want to briefly tell you a bit about Amboss, who are kindly sponsoring the podcast. Created by a team of dedicated physicians from around the world, Amboss is an interactive library of over 20,000 medical topics interlinked with a question bank holding more than 5,500 clinical case-based questions. With all the necessary resources in one place, Amboss instantly delivers up-to-date medical knowledge to students, physicians, and faculty globally. Amboss's powerful learning and clinical tools combined into one platform, making studying a breeze and life on the wards easier. With the Amboss library and question bank side by side, students can look up terms instantly when solving questions. Students and physicians around the world use Amboss material to excel in their exams and on the wards. Sign up in minutes at amboss.com. Try Amboss risk-free with a trial today. Hi, welcome to the show, Dr. Fish. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We have a tradition of starting each podcast episode with the question, why medicine?
I think medicine's the best occupation in the world because it's the most direct opportunity to impact somebody's life. As much as I love Draw It to Know It and education and making connections and everything that comes with it, there's nothing quite like the immediacy of another person out and walking them through the most difficult times of their life oftentimes. I definitely come from a long line of doctors and I was certainly steered in that direction, but for me it's been the perfect occupation because of that immediacy of helping someone or just helping them to understand what it is they're going through. And I think that that human connection for me personally is the most gratifying. I would say to anyone who has an inkling towards the notion of wanting to feel that feeling of helping somebody in any capacity, be it surgery or just explaining their situation, they should run towards it. They should block out all the noise when it comes to struggles of healthcare practice and all those annoyances, because at the core, medicine will always be what it is, which is the doctor or the clinician in any capacity and the patient working out the situation together. There is no substitute for that I've found in the world. So I'd say to anyone who has any notion towards the healing arts, run towards it and ignore everything else that anyone says.
That's very inspiring. In 2009, you published the Neuroanatomy Draw It to Know It book. Could you please share what inspired you to write it and how you found the experience?
To understand that, I have to sort of plant you in medical school. I was second year learning about the nervous system, and it suddenly connected for me that as I was scrolling through different slices of the brain, if I knew where to look for something, it would make it much more obvious how to find it. That sounds evident, but reality is a lot of us work spatially in that we just look at an image and we intuitively know our way around it. I am much more literary and auditory and not spatially inclined in that manner. So for me, it's not a natural thing to just look at an image and just intuitively know where something is. I have to intellectualize it and say that, for instance, caudate lies medially, tamen lies laterally, and here's where I'm going to find it. Familiarize myself with these structures and my friends, and then I can scroll through any image and I'll know where everything is supposed to be. That's the way that I worked my way through anatomy. In doing that, create a story for yourself as to how all of these structures fit together. And it's a stepwise process. I found that mode of standing up at the whiteboard and drawing out various structures, pathways, gave me a mnemonic wherein it wasn't some fanciful acronym that was teaching me the material, but rather there was a story I could tell myself. If I started with one structure, moved to the other, I had a framework for all the information. And then from that spatial framework, I could apply any information I wanted. If I knew where something was and I knew how to arrive at it, I could then layer on any information that I needed to learn more and more about it. Basically, what Draw It to Know It became is ability to take factual information and create a relationship with it wherein it could build and grow. The drawing, the illustration, the process of creating it allowed me to have a multimodal approach to learning, which was kinesthetic, which had a time course, which was spatial, which was also auditory because there was a linguistic component. Basically, the inspiration came from the Diseases of the Nervous System class, second year of med school. And that's what launched me into neurology as a profession. Turns out neurology suits me really well because I really like being able to counsel patients in difficult times. But neuroanatomy itself, while it's the fundamentals of disease localization and diagnostic management, really wasn't taught in my residency formally. Got into neurology because I loved learning about neuroscience. And when I arrived residency, I was disappointed to find out I wasn't going to learn that information. The information I was going to learn was much more practical and patient management. So I started studying the nervous system on my own, and I started creating those whiteboard illustrations for myself as a way to learn it. And then I found that the best way to motivate myself to learn it was to teach it. So we created a residency group that would meet at the wee hours of the morning before rounds and try to teach each other about neuroscience. And then we started with a big group, dwindled down very quickly to just a couple people. And then at the end of it, it was just me standing at a whiteboard teaching myself the information. And as I was plowing through it, I found that I wanted to record everything. I wanted to document it so I could reference it. And at some point, it dawned on me that, hey, this would be a really good book. Maybe a year, 2 years to land with Oxford Press. And when I landed with Oxford, they said, looks great, we love it, but your handwritten illustrations are not something that we can publish, and it would be way too expensive to hire a medical illustrator to create them, so you're going to either have to figure out how to draw better, or we're not going to have a book. So I turned to some friends of mine in the graphic arts, and I got a handle on Adobe Illustrator, and I found that suddenly I was super empowered by an ability to create what I had in my mind's eye or on the whiteboard in a very clean way in these illustrations. Past 10-15 years, understanding Adobe Illustrator has become a key part of the creative process. Once I was able to marry the ability of creating the illustration with the ability of writing the material, everything came into place, because my process still is I create the illustration, what we call the artboard. I get that right, and then I write the material afterwards. And that puts me through the process of I have to be able to lay everything out in a diagram before I can begin to teach it. And the teaching process is the writing of the script.
I see. Does that mean that you're still involved in creating all the drawings and material for the various subjects on Draw It to Know It to this day, even as editor-in-chief?
We have had various authors, illustrators. We've done this process in many different ways, but at the end of the day, it's a very, very complicated process to get these tutorials built. There's a ton of steps involved. And at the end of the day, it's best if it's done by one person, the teacher, essentially, the educator. I definitely do the lion's share of creation, but I have some key partners who I've worked with over the last decade who also do a monumental amount of that content as well. As editor-in-chief, everything has to go through my eye. It just seems to work best. I'm able to make associations between the material because it's all in my head. That process seems to work. Every time we try to deviate from that process and rush material through, it falls apart and it's flat. Our attitude is there's 100,000 tutorials on, say, lupus or some disorder. Why not be the best? There's no point just creating something just to create it. So it's a very, very cumbersome process, but at the end of the day, it's only worthwhile if it's excellent and if it connects.
That's great. I can imagine that it must be so challenging to condense so much content into an easy to follow and memorable tutorial. For our listeners who may not have yet heard of Draw It to Know It, what is your mission?
My mission is to take information that feels at face inaccessible and flat and turn it into something that is dynamic such that you feel like you're teaching it to yourself. And ultimately imprint it in your mind in a way in which, as you learn additional information, you can layer that information onto memory scaffold. Draw It to Know It, while it's about drawing, it's about the process of drawing something out, that's really only the beginning or the mechanism, the active component to it. But it's about so much more. In fact, if you draw it out in your mind and you never draw it out on paper, that's just as good. It's about a stepwise approach to learning wherein you're creating a structure that you can layer information onto. And it's about telling a story in a way that is immediately understandable. A key part of the success of Draw It to Know It comes from the fact that the authors approach the material as students. Nothing is taken for granted. Everything is approached as if there's no extreme prior knowledge. Obviously, there has to be some building block for understanding. Actually, as I'm saying it, it reminds me of, I saw a video with Richard Feynman about the why question, and they'd asked him about magnetism, and he was, in a long-winded way, explaining why it was very difficult to explain why magnetism works, because he had nothing else that he could compare it to that the learner would understand intuitively. The idea being that you have to, when you're educating someone, you have to understand their level of education coming in order to be able to layer on the new information. And so if you treat everyone as if they just don't know anything at all, you can walk them through in a way that will be understandable to everyone. And the shocking thing of it is even as a neurologist, when I'm writing tutorials on neurological subjects like seizures, I'm shocked and saddened by how much I actually will still learn. And I've been practicing for 15 years. You still discover things. The writing process is a process of discovery. You have to approach it with awe and with enthusiasm as someone exploring a subject for the first time.
That's fantastic that you put so much effort into making sure that students really get the most out of these tutorials. Now we'll take a quick break to hear a short message from our sponsors.
AMBOSS is a medical knowledge platform built on three fundamental elements. At the core, a comprehensive medical library helps students learn the facts and the nuances of medicine. Also central is the QBank. By using these tools, students unlock the third element, personalized analytics, which helps students make smart studying decisions. Three essential tools of learning, all in one place. It's no surprise AMBOSS has become one of the most popular resources for students and schools worldwide. Ready to take a closer look? Sign up for a free trial today at AMBOSS.com.
After you published the Draw It to Know It Neuroanatomy book, what inspired you to create the Draw It to Know It website, which covers a diverse range of medical and scientific subjects?
After I completed Neuroanatomy, a lot of people actually had said, well, I see how this applies to neuroanatomy, the pathways and everything, but I can't imagine how it could apply to anything else. To me, it was intuitively obvious because the process was just explore a subject, create some way to remember the material, and that's Draw It to Know It. The first obvious subject to try with was gross anatomy, and I worked with tons of authors, but what I found was that the task required a combination of things that were quite demanding. The task requires creativity, knowledge, humility, basically, the willingness to say, although I'm an expert in this, I still need to approach this like a student, patience, a lot of hard work, and a willingness to not be threatened by Adobe because those products are challenging. It's really hard to find somebody with all of those. It took me a long time. Mike Lose, writing partner, Amy Harris was certainly the foremost person who had all those attributes. And so she's still my close writing partner today. After gross anatomy, the next step was general biology. And from there, everything became possible. And personally, I have found biochemistry to be the one that I like the most. And biochemistry was one that when I was learning as a med student, I would learn the steps, go on a run, rehearse the steps in my head, and then come back and fill in the gaps after the run. It actually lends itself really well to Draw It to Know It because biochemistry is about holding a lot of stepwise information in your head to make those connections. But every subject has lent itself to this process because every subject has to be learned and understood. It is funny. There's an arc when you're creating the information where you start with, oh, well, this is pretty flat. This is kind of boring. It's just a lot of information. So you research. You start to get to know the information. You start to crystallize various connections. And then it starts to get really fun and inspiring. A little learning is a dangerous thing. If you really get to know a subject, you've got so much of it imprinted in your mind that the connections can then start. And there's this inspirational moment when everything starts to crystallize and you have that sort of, oh, I get it. I understand it. It started in neuroanatomy because that's where I was. Most people said, I don't see how it applies to anything more, and made it apply to everything. I think you can do this with a grocery list. Anything that you want to learn and store, you just have to create a story for, and that makes it fun.
Fantastic. And did you decide to move to an online platform instead of creating a book series because an online platform is more accessible and more interactive?
And the online happened because exactly what you're saying, the book was two-dimensional. I wanted to teach the material after I'd created it. I was teaching the medical students at WashU. I had these, what we call the final image, completed illustration. But if I just stood in class and lectured from that, the students couldn't go through the process of drawing it out. Then I started breaking that final illustration down into its 150 steps. I had to pick various steps to march through in class while the students drew out the information. That was satisfying. And then it was like, well, I have the ability to create a movie out of this because I have all of the steps and I know what the script is. Started putting stuff on YouTube really as a way to enhance the experience of the book. The YouTube videos were extremely popular. And then a close friend of mine who's our chief technical officer, Biden Frost, was a computer science guy out of WashU. And he kind of looking over my shoulder as I was working on this. And he said, hey, why don't you let me build a website for it, a framework for it? And I'd fumbled around and built a website using Adobe Dreamweaver. While it was fun, it was very cumbersome and time consuming while I was in residency and having our first kid and everything. Nick took the reins and we've had a couple of iterations of the website ever since. It was a very organic process that led from the book to the online experience.
That's a great story. Draw It to Know It has now existed for over 10 years. What are some of the key lessons you've learned in the past decade in your role?
You better enjoy what you're doing, because if you don't, it's going to be drudgery. You can't do this for the money or for the whatever. You have to do it because you love learning. If you don't love learning, don't do education. The learning process is what the student's going through, so you can't teach it if you don't learn it. Can't draw it if you don't know it. The adage came from a mentor of mine, Bill DeMeyer, who would always say the reverse, which was, if you can't draw it, you don't know it. So that was the ultimate test, the ultimate challenge. Personally, I think it's a way better way of testing yourself as to, do I understand this information, than a bunch of quiz questions, which are really just factoids. Do I truly understand this information is answered by the fact that, can I stand up and teach it, which is drawing it. So what have I learned? Love it or don't do it.
That's an important lesson. What does a typical day in your life look like?
Starts really early. Sometimes it starts at midnight. Sometimes it starts at 2 a.m. Sometimes I sleep until my alarm at 6. And coffee, a lot of coffee. Started coffee once a day, twice a day, 3 times a day. Now it's about every 2 hours. I love my life when I am creating, when I'm learning. The research process is actually, it starts off pretty painful. Once I get into the throes of it and I'm thinking about all of these topics, at that point, the creative juices are flowing and it's great. I'm a neurohospitalist, so every other week I'm in the hospital doing clinical care, which I love because it balances creative aspect of things, the immediacy of taking care of somebody's life. There's something very important about having that in your life, because as a clinician, it's not about you at all. It's about the patient. And I think one of the reasons doctors get burnt out is because they don't quite understand that their job is to treat the patient. It's not for self-satisfaction. A lot of times, if you try to view medicine as this creative pursuit, you get frustrated by the fact that it can be pretty programmatic, but it's programmatic as a way to keep it consistent. And the real joy in medicine has to come from the impact that you have on the patient's life. I run every day, play guitar, which is starting to fascinate me because I finally, after 20 years, started focusing on music theory, which is a blast. And I am absolutely loving it. And I've got a phenomenal family that keeps me on my toes.
That's great that you still find time for hobbies, even with your very busy schedule.
I get grouchy if I don't. Fortunately, I've got people in my life who understand that if Dad doesn't get to the guitar, I don't want to be around him anyway. They want to be around me when I'm doing these things. I actually got really into skiing in the past couple of years. Now it's Dad needs to ski in order to be excited and happy. And I think running every day is a way to just roll through what's been, what's to come, and solidify thoughts. When we were first creating the website, that was a lot of the design ideas would come. Run, I think you have to keep active. I told my kids that the philosophy of life is be good to those who are good to you and play hard. And that seems to keep being true.
How inspiring. What is your vision for Draw It to Know It and for the future of medical education generally?
Well, I stay out of the future of medical education because I don't think the future has to look any different than the present moment, which is love it, learn it, live it in any capacity. It doesn't matter whether it's a book, whether it's a video, whether it's a educator standing in front of you. The vision for Draw It to Know It is just keep doing it. Keep making those connections. Keep integrating. We're doing pathology and pharmacology now. It just takes a heck of a lot longer than I would like, than anyone would like, but if we don't do it right, what's the point of doing it? The more we do, the more we layer, the more we integrate. Technology keeps getting cooler. We've got some great people behind our drawing capabilities. So we're trying to keep people happy with that. We keep coming up with new ways to present the material. We just created exercises to try and chunk the information, take student feedback, and we just create more and more features to improve upon the information. I do see personally on the clinical side of things is that we are really struggling with the lack of healthcare providers. And so people have to get ramped up to speed in terms of what they know very quickly. Whereas at one time you could go slowly in education, there's a lot of people who are being thrown into the hospital with very little background and have to get on their feet quick. That's probably one of those challenges, but they add all that stuff and I just keep my head in creating.
To conclude the episode, what three pieces of advice would you give students interested in clinical entrepreneurship?
You better love it or don't do it at all, because there's no point. Just run through any wall. There's no point in letting anything stop you. And don't quit your day job. It's really gratifying to be able to still practice clinical medicine and balance that with the creative pursuits. You're going to get depressed if you go one direction only, I think.
Thank you so much for your advice and for being on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me. It's fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something new. We would really appreciate it if you subscribed, gave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. For more content and resources from That Medic Network, please follow us on our social media. All the links are in the podcast description below. Thank you and have a good week.